Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians. We will be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to open them up to that. We do have some Bibles available in the foyer as well. You can pick those up. You can take them home with you as well if you do not have any Bible. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Good morning, church. I'd like to begin this morning with a survey question, okay, by a show of hands. How many of you have heard of Noah Kahan? How many of you have heard of Noah Kahan? Okay. Wow, we are an old congregation, okay? If you are younger, you would have heard of this young man, okay? I can tell you that Noah Kahan was not traded to the Boston Red Sox this week. However, Noah Kahan did play at Fenway Park last month. So you say to yourself, well, how can that be? Well, Noah Kahan is a 29-year-old musician from Vermont who became the first artist to ever headline and sell out Fenway Park for 4 nights in a row. It's pretty good, huh? Clearly, Noah Kahan speaks to a generation of young people about their longings and their aspirations. One of the things that Noah Kahan longs for is home. In the last verse of his song, Homesick, Kahan writes of his hometown, "I would leave if only I could find a reason. I'm mean because I grew up in New England. I got dreams, but I can't make myself believe them. Spend the rest of my life with what could have been. And I will die in the house that I grew up in. I'm homesick." Now, here's a question for you. How can you be homesick if you're going to die in the house that you grew up in? How is that possible? Well, you can be homesick in your hometown if you have a love-hate relationship with your hometown. On the one hand, Noah Kahan loves his hometown. He wants to die in the house that he grew up in, so he loves where he lives. But on the other hand, he feels stuck and trapped in a hometown where he senses that his dreams will never come true. He is homesick for a place that he has never been. A place where he can be the person that he was meant to be and live the life that he was meant to live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we meet another homesick man. This man is the Apostle Paul. Only Paul is not homesick for a home on earth. He is homesick instead for a place in heaven. He is longing for his heavenly home. So Paul is not longing for a home in Vermont like Noah Kahan, or a home in West Virginia like John Denver, or a home in North Carolina like James Taylor. Paul longs for his heavenly home. He is homesick for a place that he has never been. He is longing not just for heaven, but he is longing for his glorious resurrection body. If Paul could just be one with that body, if he could just go home to that body, he would be the person that he was meant to be, and he would live the life that he was meant to live. Every Christian longs for our heavenly home. So let's look at some ways that we can be sure that we, as Christians, will go home one day. First of all, you can be sure that you're going home to your heavenly body because God is building you a home. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 again. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So what is the verb in this verse? Taking you back to English class, what's the verb in verse 1? We what? We know. We Christians know. We're not guessing what is going to happen to us after we die. We're not wishing. We're not dreaming. No. We know. And what do we know for sure? What is guaranteed to happen? Paul compares our earthly bodies to a tent. And tents are temporary. You do not live in a tent forever. You live in a tent for a few days, and then you go to your more permanent home. And so Paul compares a camper who takes down his tent to the death of the body. King Hezekiah made the same comparison between his dying body to a tent being taken down in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 12. Let's read together the words of Hezekiah. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, you bring me to an end. And so Hezekiah is saying, and Paul is saying at the same time, that the body you are living in right now, it is just a temporary tent. But the resurrection body that God will give to you is a permanent home that God himself has built for you. And that resurrection heavenly body will last forever in your home in heaven. Now, some of you know that the Apostle Paul knew a lot about tents. He was, in fact, a tent maker. That was his job. By making tents, he was able to financially support himself in his missionary work. And by making tents, Paul also understood something about the Old Testament. The first place that God met with his people Israel was called the tabernacle. And what was that tabernacle? It was a tent. Now, it was a beautiful tent made of extremely fine linens that were put together. And God met with his people Israel in this temporary tent after they had been released from slavery in Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness. God would meet with his people in that temporary tent while they did not yet have a homeland. But what happened after Israel moved into the promised land that God gave to them? God no longer met with his people in a tent. They met in a more permanent structure in Jerusalem. They met in a beautiful permanent stone building called the temple. Just like the tabernacle tent was temporary, which gave way to the more glorious and permanent temple, so our earthly bodies are temporary tents. When we enter into the promised land of heaven, we will be given a far more glorious and permanent body. God will give to us a better body, a resurrection body to live in forever. This resurrection body will not be made by human hands. It will be made by God himself. And when we receive that resurrection body from God, we will finally be home. Now, how confident was Paul that he would indeed one day go home to his resurrection body? Again, look at the first three words of verse 1. For we know. Paul was certain. He knew that after he died, he would be going home to heaven and to his glorious resurrection body. Now, you think that Paul's certainty that he was going home to his resurrection body, do you think that helped him to endure the suffering that he went through in his body on earth? I certainly do. No matter how much he suffered in his earthly body, Paul knew that after the tent of his earthly body was folded up in death and removed, he would be going home. And he would live in that beautiful home forever. And so Paul longed for that day. He was homesick for a body that was going to be given him by God. He was able to see that the suffering that he was enduring in his current body, his temporary body, his temporary tent, was light, momentary affliction in comparison with the glory that God would give him in his new resurrection body. So I want to encourage you, church, don't be discouraged with the suffering that you are enduring in your earthly body. Let your suffering make you homesick, like Paul was homesick for his heavenly body. One of my favorite quotes from a homesick Christian is that which was made by C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity. Lewis once wrote this sentence: "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Isn't that great? The good news of Christianity is that we were indeed made for another world. We were not made for this world. This world has been corrupted by our sin. But the world that God is preparing for us is a perfect world where we will enjoy God forever and ever. Christians then long to go home to that world. We desire a body that is permanent and glorious, a body that will not suffer and let us down. We can be certain as Christians that after we die, we will receive our heavenly body from God Himself. This is a certain promise from God. We know that we have a great body coming for us. Secondly, you can be sure that you are going home to your heavenly body because your body will be swallowed up by life. Paul writes about the groaning that we do in the earthly tents of our body in verse 2. Paul writes, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." I like what Paul says here about the connection between tents and groaning. Some people love camping. They love being in the great outdoors at night, under the stars, under their tent. I am not one of those people. When Wendy and I first got married, we were invited by a group of friends to go camping over Labor Day weekend at Niagara Falls. Now, since I am not a fan of camping, I was not thrilled by this idea. I was especially not excited to be sleeping outside in September. But technically, Labor Day weekend is still summer. And so I thought to myself, you know, it might just be warm enough for us to enjoy sleeping in a tent on Labor Day weekend. I was wrong. They had record lows that weekend at Niagara Falls, and so both nights that we were in that tent, the temperature got down to about freezing. So, I froze that weekend. Do you know what else I did that weekend? I groaned. Just like Paul groaned in the earthly tent of his body, I groaned in my flimsy canvas tent by Niagara Falls. I didn't want to be in my temporary shelter that weekend. All I wanted to do that weekend was to go home, to sleep in my nice warm bed in my nice, warm home. The Apostle Paul then wanted to put off the earthly tent of his body. He wanted to be out of that tent. And at the same time, he longed to put on the heavenly body that he would enjoy for all eternity. And so Paul writes in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 5, "If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked." Now, what does Paul mean here by being found naked? What is he talking about? He means to be living without a body. What happens at death for every person is our dead body goes into the ground, it's buried there, but our soul gets separated from our body at death. And where does our soul go as Christians when we die? Paul answers that question in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 5, where he says, "We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." To be absent from the body as a Christian means what? That we are now in a different place. We are living at home with the Lord. That's where our soul goes when we die. We will be present with the Lord in a place that Jesus calls paradise. When Jesus told the converted thief on the cross that that thief would that very day be with Jesus where? In paradise after his death on his own cross. That thief would be with God and with Jesus forever after he died. However, it does appear from the Bible's teaching that in between the day of our death and Christ's return to earth, what's going to happen? We will not have bodies in the place that Jesus calls paradise. We will indeed be naked souls while we wait for Jesus to return. We will have to wait until the second coming to get our resurrection bodies. Let's read when we will receive our resurrection bodies from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23. Let's read together. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." So Jesus, we see from these verses, he's the firstfruits. If you're harvesting a crop, the first crop of a resurrected body belongs to who? Jesus. He has already received his resurrection body. He received that resurrection body on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. And Jesus' resurrected body is the guarantee that all of us who love Jesus, all of us who have faith that Jesus died for our sins, we too will receive a resurrection body when Christ returns to earth. When are we going to receive these bodies? 1 Corinthians 15 says, at his coming. When Christ returns to earth, every Christian gets their new resurrection body. We will get our permanent, glorious, resurrected bodies in that moment that we will enjoy forever. We will not be naked souls anymore. Our souls will be united with our bodies again. But this time, our soul will be united with a glorious resurrection body. Now, the Corinthians that Paul wrote to, they were from Greece, and so they were Greek people. And so they had probably read the philosophical works of the Greek philosopher Plato. One of Plato's works was called the Phaedo, which is a story about the immortality of the soul that lives forever and ever. In Greek philosophy, the soul was good, but anything material, anything in creation, like our bodies, that was all bad. Soul good, body bad. That's what the Greeks believed. And so the goal for philosophers like Plato was to escape from the prison of our bodies to be a free and a pure soul. That was the goal. But is that what the Bible teaches? No. The Bible teaches that God created the world and our bodies good. So what happened? Our sin happened, and our sin corrupted our bodies and all of creation. So sin is the problem, not our bodies. There's nothing wrong with having a body. God created the body good. So what humans need then is not freedom from our body. What we need is the redemption of our body from sin. What we long for then is not to go to heaven without a body. That's not what we want. We long for Jesus to return so that we can live in heaven for eternity in a glorified resurrection body, just like Jesus has. Paul makes this clear in verse 4, where he writes, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." What are we doing in our current bodies? We are, Paul says, groaning. Okay? That's what happens as we age. Our bodies start to fall apart. But we don't long to be souls without bodies. Paul clearly did not want that for himself. His hope was that Jesus would return before he would die. Our current bodies are mortal. They are subject to death and sickness because, again, of our sin. But when Jesus returns, he will raise our bodies from the dead so that we will live with him in heaven forever. But the thing about our resurrection bodies, you see, our current bodies are not going to be raised as they are. They're not going to be raised without change. Our bodies in heaven will be very different. Verse 4 says that we will be further clothed. Right now we have the clothing of this tent in our bodies, but on top of the tent that we already have, we're going to have further clothing that is going to be far more glorious. Our mortal bodies, Paul writes, are going to be swallowed up by life. All that life is, all that life means, that's what we will have in our resurrection bodies. So that's what's coming. All that we long for, all that we are homesick for, will come true in our resurrection bodies. What is Maine's slogan as you drive into Maine? What does it say? Maine what? The way life should be. Well, that is actually going to be true for us as Christians when we live in our resurrection bodies. That's the way life should be. We will enjoy that kind of a life when we have that perfect body combined with a perfect soul. There will be no sickness, no suffering, no death in our resurrection bodies. Instead, we will be free to enjoy all that God has for us in the new creation of heaven. That will be life. And that's what will happen for you at the resurrection. That will happen when your current body is swallowed up by the resurrection body that God has for you. Is anyone here today longing for that day? Do you look forward to it? That's going to be a great day for every Christian. Paul says that you can be sure that that day of resurrection is coming for you. You don't have to worry about it or wonder about it. Sometimes when I talk to Christians of a certain age, people who are my age and older, we wonder about what our resurrection bodies will look like in heaven. we ask ourselves, well, how old am I going to look like when I am in heaven? Now, most Christians that I talk to of a certain age, they want to look like they did in their 20s when they are in heaven. They want to go back to their glory days when they were looking good, feeling good. That's what heaven will be like for me, they think. But I want to tell you what I want. Here's what I long for. Here is what I'm homesick for. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. That's what I want. I believe that the best is not behind me. I believe the best is yet to come. And I will experience that best when God gives to me my glorious resurrection body. I want to be clothed in life to the fullest. That's what I long for. So let your homesickness today, let it cause you as a Christian to look forward, not to look back. Finally, you can be sure that you're going home to a resurrection body because the Holy Spirit guarantees it. Paul writes in verse 5, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guaranteed." God has prepared for us and is preparing for us an eternal home in our resurrection bodies. How do we know for sure, though, that we are going home? The Holy Spirit, who lives inside of every Christian, is our guarantee that we are going home. Our home in heaven and in a resurrection body is not pie-in-the-sky fantasy. It is guaranteed by God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together about the work of the Holy Spirit from Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Let's read together. "In Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So what happened to you when you believed the good news of the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? What happened to you in that moment? Jesus paid the penalty of death for your sins that your sins deserved at the cross. You were the one who should have died on the cross. You were the one who should have paid that penalty. But Jesus died in your place. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible love that Jesus has for you? Your debt then has been fully paid by Jesus, your debt of sin. And once you believe that Jesus died for you, God gave you the Holy Spirit to live in you and to change you day by day into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He's changing you while you are making your journey home to heaven and to your resurrection body. Ephesians 1 says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. A seal that is put on something is a mark of ownership. And so God owns you as a Christian. You belong to Him. He shows that you are owned by Him by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you is a guarantee that you will be going home one day to your resurrection body and your heavenly home. Since the Holy Spirit is in you, changing you, making you more like Christ each day right now, that is a guarantee that when you get home, the Holy Spirit will also change your body. He will change you from what you are currently wearing, your earthly tent, and he will give you a more permanent resurrection body. That's the great change that the Holy Spirit will bring you when you make it to heaven. Home is where God is. Home is where Jesus is. Jesus lives in a glorified, resurrected body. And when Jesus returns to earth, he will bring you home to your transformed, glorified, resurrected body. He will bring you home to heaven with him. The Holy Spirit's presence in your life today is the guarantee that one day you too will be home with Jesus in a resurrection body. I want you to use your imagination today as we close our service. I brought a picture with me. I want you to imagine that you are this particular man. He is shipwrecked on a deserted island. No one else survived the shipwreck. He's alone out there on this deserted island. He longs to go home, but he can't. Picture if that were you. You have no materials to make a boat or build a raft, and you can't swim home. It's too far. So how can you get home? Here's how. God sent Jesus to save us. Jesus came to us in a boat to take us home to be with him in our resurrection body. But we have to trust Jesus. We have to get in the boat with Jesus. We have to stay in the boat. The seas that you are riding over may look rough. We often cannot see our faraway home while we are in the boat. Sometimes we doubt that Jesus really can get us home. But the Bible says Jesus knows the way home. And in fact, Jesus is the way home. And so don't doubt. Believe. Trust that Jesus has done all the work needed to get you home. He did all the work needed at the cross and in his resurrection 3 days later. Trust that Jesus is making you home, getting you home. Trust as well that what the Holy Spirit inside you is telling you is true. God owns you. And if God owns you, he's not going to abandon you. He will protect you all the way home. He guarantees to get you home. And so if you have not yet trusted Jesus to save you from your sins and bring you home to heaven one day, do that today. Put your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who can save you. He is the one who can and will replace the temporary tent of your body with a permanent, glorious resurrection body. Trust that Jesus will do that for you if you repent of your sin and believe in him. And if you are already a Christian, don't give up in your homesickness. You are almost home, and you will go home. The Holy Spirit guarantees it. Let's pray together. God, we thank you today for the home that you are preparing for us. Thank you for the glorious, beautiful resurrection body that will be ours in heaven one day. I pray for each one here today who is groaning, who is dealing with suffering of one kind or another today. I pray that our homesickness will draw us more and more toward Jesus. I pray that we will make this journey with you all the way home. Help us not to give up, but I pray that we will trust in Christ until that day when he gives to us this glorious resurrection body. It's in his name we pray. Amen.